إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, oh you who believe, shall I show you a trade, a business, which will save you from a grievous punishment? When we teach influencing skills, we teach something called, which I call WIIFM. I tell people that there is one FM station that everybody listens to, irrespective of nationality or race or tribe or religion or gender. There's one FM station everyone listens to, and that FM station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? The full form of WIIFM is, what's in it for me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and talking about the deen, about Islam, in that context. What's in it for me? O you who believe, shall I show you what's in it for you? Shall I show you how this will benefit you? Shall I show you a trade, a business, which will save you from a punishment? Grievous punishment, azab and alim, grievous punishment. I remind myself and you that the bottom line, the reason for all effort, irrespective of anything, reason for all effort, whether it is a hobby, whether it's a business, whether it is a religion, whether it is anything, the reason for all effort is only one, which is that the person making that effort sees some benefit for himself or herself in that effort. If a person sees no benefit, they will not work. So take, for example, the constant dilemma or the constant problem within courts that parents seem to have, my children are not studying, how to make them study. I always tell people, you can't make anyone do anything. That's one of the biggest problems. How do you make a person? You can't make a person study. What you can try to do is help them to see what's in it for them. A child who understands what benefit he or she will get from education does not have to be told to study. They will study. They will study no matter what. Because they see, if I do this, this is what I will get. And they don't study because they don't see that benefit. Now, if you take that child and say, is this child not interested in anything at all? That's not true. He's interested in something. He's interested in hanging out with the friends. He's interested in, some game or whatever. I'm not talking about is it a good thing or a bad thing. I'm saying that somewhere that child is seeing a benefit in what he or she is doing. He sees a benefit in hanging out with friends, even though you can try to convince him that this is a waste of your time and so on. But he sees a benefit. He gets, this is the, incidentally, this is the secret behind the popularity of computer games. Because there is an instant feedback. You get this winning feedback continuously. And that's like a drug. It makes you do what is actually completely useless, time waste of the ultimate order, but you get it. Take for example my great interest is wildlife and wildlife photography, not even though I can't do much of it, but anyway. Some of the, if you see the BBC series on planet Earth, there's that whole series of birds of paradise, the mating dances and birds of paradise. Now there's one particular bird of paradise, when in that series they show you the film, and then there is a second part of how it was done. So the photographers and all the technology of it. And in that he says that one particular bird of paradise, that little shot of, I think it was less than 2 minutes, that shot, the photographer sat in a hide, hide covered with leaves and so on, camouflaged, for 3 weeks. Continuously for 3 weeks, he sat in that hide from morning till night to get that less than 2 minutes worth of film. Now ask yourself, why is he doing it? And if you say, no, they get paid, believe me, I'll pay you that money. Let me see if you do it. It's not a question of paid. It's a, money is incidental. I mean, they, yes, they get paid, and I don't think they get some astronomical numbers either. But at the same time, it is the benefit the person sees in it. So whether it's a hobby, whether it's some of the greatest work that is done in this world through the greatest hardship, and many times through actual physical danger, is work done by people who are doing it purely on a voluntary basis. Take for example, yeah? Take missionaries for example, people who are doing Christian missionary work in the world. Take for example people who are doing photography in war zones, right? Who is paying them? Even if they are paying them, okay, the guy is a journalist, he gets some money from New York Times or whatever, but is that money worth his life? Will you do that if somebody gives you money? You say, not on your life, I'm not going there. No way. You can't pay me enough money to go there. But somebody is doing it because they see a benefit in it. The reason I'm saying all of this is because when we come to Islam, we just prayed Salatul Fajr, Alhamdulillah, by Jama'ah, and we know what Rasulullah said about this. He said that the person who prays Salatul Fajr in the masjid gets 27 times, not 27%, 27 times the sawab of praying the same salah in his house. So 27 times. So we know this, the data of it, we know this, we believe it. So intellectually we understand that. We all believe in the Akhirah. So this is, there's no contradiction there. Then why do we not pray in the Salatul Fajr in the masjid? That's the question. The question is that even though we know all of this, how come we don't do it? How come every Muslim man at least is not in a masjid for Salatul Fajr and applies to all the other salawat? Because that has not sunk in. Really, if you say, what's in it for me? I don't know. And I won't say it because I don't want to, say something against my religion. But if you seriously ask, do you really benefit? You came here for Salatul Fajr. What did you get from this? We need to ask this question and we need to have an answer. Now, if I ask this question to you, I ask this question to myself, I prayed Salatul Fajr here in this masjid, what did I get? I'm not saying materially, obviously you won't get anything materially, but like if I take Ismail is here, so I'm saying, when I take a good photograph, if you ask me what did you get, I can tell you what I got. Although, I didn't sell the photograph, I had no money, nothing. It's just that the whole experience of that. And sometimes when I'm in Kruger Park in South Africa, sometimes I deliberately put the camera away and I said, I'm not going to take any photographs, I'm just going to enjoy the scenery. I'm just going to enjoy the animals which I'm seeing. I won't even get involved. Sometimes I get very distracted with the photograph, with the lens and this and that and aperture and whatnot and lighting and so on. Then I realize, I said, why am I doing all this? I'm not enjoying the beauty of this whole thing because I'm so involved in trying to get the right shot. So forget the camera, leave it, just enjoy the scene. Why? The WIIFM of photography is less than the WIIFM of just enjoying that scenery. Just being in the forest and just getting the sense of being, in the middle of all these trees and nature and so on, and away from all this concrete. Just the sense of that. Is it quantifiable in terms of material terms? No, it's not. But do you mean it doesn't exist? Of course it exists. Why do you think we spend all the time, money, energy to go all over the bush? Because we know what we get out of this. So the point is that this can we apply to our religion. Because until we can apply that, we can talk about all this till the cows come home, nothing will happen. We talk about the importance of sunnah, we talk about the importance of faraid, we talk about halal, haram. But the moment some, doubtful chicken which is cooked nicely comes in front of you, khalas, all haram, halal, are chawda, haram. Bismillah bolo khao, Allah Ta'ala maaf karne wala hai. Aisi murghi phir kaam hi nahi bole. So this is the issue is what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Now, the spin on this is that to get benefit from something, especially from a practice, Islam is not a product, right? This applies also to products. And I'll tell you how, but definitely for a practice. To get a sense of what's in it for me from a practice, what is also required is that you do that practice long enough. To do it long enough. Now, to give you an example, if you want to benefit from exercise, then you have to be, you have to do exercise long enough to start enjoying it. Because what's the first thing that happens when you do exercise? Pain. Anybody, the first thing that happens if you start doing exercise, whether it's walking, I mean calisthenics or aerobics or what, any form of exercise, the first thing that happens is pain. The whole body will ache, all the muscles will ache and so on and so on. Next day to go to the gym will be like one azab. But who actually benefits from that? The one who breaks through that. He says, no, I don't care. However painful it might be, I am going every single day. And then you find suddenly one day no pain anymore. And then you get this, the only legal drug that you can get a fix every day is adrenaline. So, you know, you get the adrenaline fix. There's a wonderful story about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy who became the film actor and also became the governor of California. Arnold Schwarzenegger was convicted 7 times for break and entry. 7 times he was convicted, he was arrested and convicted for break and entry into gyms on Sundays. I mean, these were the days when, now of course you've got in America at least 24/7 gyms. But those days, on Sunday, the gym was closed. So he would break into the gym to go and pump iron, to go and exercise. So of course, the police got called and whatnot. And imagine 7 times. Obviously, some people don't learn. So the issue is that exercise is now so enjoyable that one day if I miss it, I feel the, oh my God, something is wrong today. What happened? I didn't go for my walk or I didn't do my go to the gym or whatnot. The same person, if you ask him, hold on. What were you saying 1 month ago? You were saying it's a big pain and so on. Yeah, because you hadn't done it enough. But when you do it enough, then you start enjoying it. And as I said, the same thing applies to products. Just get yourself a new cell phone and you see the fun of it. What is the first thing that drops is your efficiency of using the phone. Because here is the phone now is hugely packed with all kinds of stuff, but I don't know how to use it. So until I know how to use it, this new phone, which is far superior to my old phone, is actually a pain. I have become inefficient with it and I don't know what to do with it. I press the wrong button and something else happens and so on and so on. And many times you say, dump this thing. Give me my old phone back. But then once you learn all that, then it's fantastic. You can't do without it. It has to be with you every time. So the same thing applies as far as deen is concerned. We have to pray, we have to do salah, and we have to do salah enough, and we have to do salah with enough concentration to start getting the sweetness of salah. Ask yourself this question. The famous thing about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Ya Bilal, call the adhan, so that I can have the coolness of my eyes. When was the salah seen as a burden by the Prophet ﷺ or any of the Sahaba? It was seen as something they used to wait for it. Ibn Abbas, his servant said, my master waits for one salah for the other salah. From one salah to the other salah, he waits for the salah. We finish Salatul Fajr, now I got for Zuhr now, 5 hours more. 5 hours more for Zuhr. It was not a burden. Padho, khatam karo, dumpo, mazdura, gampa padke kaise nahi. It was something to look forward to. Why? Because they could taste the sweetness of it. But I'm talking about myself. We don't taste the sweetness. Why? Because we don't do it enough. This is the reason why the Salafus Salihin, we hear this, you read this about Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and others. They used to pray, 1,000 rakat, 500 rakat. Nafil. Why would somebody pray 1,000 rakat? This is the exercise part of it. This is the concentration and doing it over and over and over until you start getting the sweetness of this. And then when you start in that 2 rakat, you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas, the whole world does not exist. You are getting the sweetness of this salah. So Islam is a practice. All practices benefit only when they are practiced. And when they are practiced long enough. And that is the WIIFM of this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give it to us and to open our hearts to this and to enable us to enjoy the sweetness of this religion so that we genuinely benefit from this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmat.